Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen, because I had a few days off and I am recharged, locked and loaded, ready to go. So start your engines. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours today. We're also going to look at the amazing aftermath of our storming of the Capitol last Wednesday and all the great Texans. And now we have the state of Utah following suit, saying they will not give in to the federal threats of a blockade. So that is happening. We've now been an example to others in Utah, and other states are saying they're going to be standing up to the system and no to the new federal security goon force groping small women and children and violating the Fourth Amendment in a big, big way. Also, to give us his take on this and a lot more, like the bill that they tried to get Obama to sign that gives the president unlimited power to wage war anywhere, anytime they feel like it, unconnected to Congress. Obama said, no, I'm not signing it because it doesn't give me enough power. And the thing basically gave him total power. And it's completely unconstitutional and historically completely insane. And the ACLU came out and said, oh, look, Obama promises to veto this bill. And Paul Watson wrote a big article on that, breaking it down. Remember Obama 3 months ago when they started the Libya attack said, we'll only be there a couple days. And he went on and promised Congress that. Now here we are almost 3 months later, and they had the UN authorization of force. Obama said, that's all I need. I don't need Congress's approval. And then when Congress complained a month into it, he put another letter out saying, this is about the credibility of the UN. That's a quote. The credibility, and it is. It's saying, this is the authority. This is where I get my authority, not the American people. In other control freak government activity, giving you an idea of what Agenda 21 under UN serfdom means, San Diego newspaper, Herald Tribune reporting here, fireworks show needs new environmental review, court ruling could have sweeping impact. And another one here, church lands a $4,000 fine for excessive tree pruning. You're not even allowed in Charlotte, North Carolina, to trim your tree under the new environmental tyranny. But if you want to build nuclear reactors that blow up and send out now conservatively 10 times we're seeing reports of Chernobyl, and it's building up in the U.S., blowing across the Pacific, you just raise the level of what you say is safe and everything's fine. Or you want to put genetically modified crops out now with the BT toxin that grows naturally in these crops so that bugs won't eat it, or if they do, they die. Now being found reportedly by the AP. Mike Adams covered this last week when he said it on Friday. Did a great job. Being found in the blood of pregnant women. It's on. But let me tell you, you want to shoot some fireworks off, See, it's all about regulating and taxing any type of combustion, any type of carbon dioxide behavior, because that's connected to all of the life systems on the planet and the carbon cycle itself. So you control that one corner, you control the entire global markets. And then, of course, don't trim your tree. First, it's don't build a barn without permission, or don't drill a well unless we say so, or don't have rainwater collection, or don't sell pumpkins on the side of the road, or apples, or peaches, or pears, or cranberries, or milk, heaven forbid, or even worse, cheese. Now you're going to get SWAT teamed, I guess, if you try to have a fireworks display. So that is coming up as well today on the feudal surf front. Now we've got some good news on the TSA groping. We may not have to just count on the great patriots in Utah and Montana and Wyoming and 20-plus other states. No, it's over 25 now. Moving to block the what's already illegal, the TSA fondling of the genitals and the Fourth Amendment violating. The Texas state legislature is going to have a special session, but Rick Perry has shown his true colors again. We need to twist his arm right now, because in the special session, there's no mention of bringing back the legislation that they had 30 of the 31 votes they need.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is the 31st day of May, 2011. We're going to be live here for at least the next 3 hours. Constitutional law expert Bruce Fein will be joining us to talk about the Congress attempting to hand Obama absolute dictatorial power to wage war worldwide and domestically, including the assassination of U.S. citizens. No judge, no jury, no trial. Absolute Hitlerian or Stalinistic, Maoistic type powers. Now, Obama has promised to veto that bill, and he vetoes it, saying it doesn't give him enough power. Meanwhile, the left, the controlled left, hails it as, oh, look, Obama's saying he didn't want this power. No, Obama says he wants even more power in the letter. Paul Watson wrote about this in his article last Friday. Obama's pledge to veto worldwide war bill rings hollow. And the ACLU came out and said, oh, how incredible. Obama says he doesn't want these dictatorial powers. The letter actually says, I don't need you, Congress. I have the UN, as he said months ago when Rand Paul sent him a letter along with other senators saying, where is your power to be in Libya without getting congressional authorization? He said, I have the UN. And I did it under UN authority for the credibility of the UN, saying they're the boss, not the elected representatives of the American people. And it's UN regulations that are run Agenda 21 and the environmental assessments that have to be done now to trim your tree or have a fireworks display or the size of your toilet or your light bulbs or these smoking bans. These are all beta tests for United Nations control worldwide and has absolutely nothing to do with the environment. So that is all coming up with the constitutional lawyer, Bruce Fein, towards the end of the third hour today. And again, that headline, Obama's promise to veto worldwide war bill rings hollow, by Paul Joseph Watson, is absolutely central and links through to the president's actual letter. Now, coming up here in about 20 minutes from now, Adam Kokesh, former congressional candidate, RT host currently, Ron Paul, big Ron Paul supporter, Marine Corps veteran who's spoken out against the war. He's going to be joining us because they had a protest at the Jefferson Memorial, Thomas Jefferson, Mr. Free Speech, you know, Tree of Liberty, whole nine yards. And they simply tried to quietly dance, and they were arrested. Now, I've been in D.C., and we have footage of this. I think a lot of we put out on YouTube years ago. I've been in D.C. repeatedly. If you try to set up a camera in the middle of the park, 200 yards from anybody, and videotape the Washington Memorial, the big obelisk, security guards run over and threaten to arrest you. You explain it's your free speech right. Then cops show up and you explain to them and they say, yeah, you're right. And then they leave. And then more cops come and then they finally just say, leave or we're going to arrest you. Now, we've been to the Jefferson Memorial. We've been to the Lincoln Memorial. And we walk in with cameras and they just walk over and say, you're not allowed to do that. Well, I was with C-Think, a production company, one of the times I was in D.C., it was a few days after Bilderberg 2008. We said, why not go with this film crew? Wanted us to, you know, a few miles into D.C. We were in Chantilly, Virginia, and get some B-roll and stuff for upcoming films. You see a lot of it in Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic. And we would be out front the White House. And White House cops, not even Secret Service, but federal cops, on bicycles would pull up and say, you can't videotape the White House. And I'd say, well, you're letting that old lady right there videotape. Well, I'll get to her next. And I'd say, what's your enforcement right? Look, I'm going to arrest you if you don't leave. And it was the same thing trying to go to the monuments. You walk in, try to videotape them. They're there to let you know you're a slave. I even, at the Supreme Court, had them come across the street. I'm on a sidewalk across the street videotaping my supposed Supreme Court that our tax money paid for. It's my ancestors' tax money paid for. And they say, you can't videotape. And I tried playing good cop. I went ahead and kissed the guy's rumpus. And he said, I guess you can for 10 minutes, but then you got to go. I mean, it was incredible. And this is land of the free, home of the brave. This is what we've turned into. This is what we've become. And I remember Free Republic, big mainline conservative message board website. It's huge. Back in the last year of Clinton's administration, Clinton would have events in different cities, and he had the first free speech zones. They would say you're not allowed to be part of the spontaneous crowd cheering him outside a hotel or government building. You've got to go down the street in a barricade. And Free Republic got real upset about it, and rightfully so. I saw an article by them this morning with the dancing protesters at the Jefferson Memorial, and they said, hey, it's the rules, get used to it. You deserve to be arrested. Really? So if you see a group as liberal, I don't know why they even call them liberal, more libertarian, they deserve to be arrested, but then you don't deserve to be arrested. Now, going back to the state of Texas on this issue, the foreign news crew that was here, even local media, couldn't believe that I'd march into the Capitol and then I would scream at lobbyists and I would scream at politicians. That's what that temple, and that's what it is. It's a temple. That's what the Masons call those facilities. That big goddess temple, that's what they're designed on. We study the architecture. That big dome, female breast, is supposedly a place where liberty and freedom is worshipped. If you go to the deep Masonic teachings, but they don't even follow their own teachings. Now, the founding fathers, some of them Masons, actually did. So all you supposed Masons around the country who are headlong for the tyranny, well, shame on you. But I have to say this about the temple over here in Austin. When I went over to that Masonic temple and marched in there and screamed at the money changers and the den of iniquity in their face, they did what they were supposed to do. They honored my liberty. They honored what it was all about, shocking people all over the country. There's news articles all over Texas, all over the U.S., marveling that someone dare go into a Capitol with 100 or so people, it was more than that over the whole evening, and scream at folks who were violating us. You have the elected representatives, 138-0, the entire House, no abstentions, voting for absolute law to be enforced that if a cop or a state police officer or a citizen or an FBI agent can't randomly stick their hands down your pants or grope you on the outside, it's a Fourth Amendment violation, that how can this new federal force, you know, only 9 years old, do it? Always wanting more, more, more. Now, it's already on the books. As I've had state reps on to break that down. I've had district attorneys on. It's already illegal. Misdemeanor on the outside, felony on the inside. Texas says felony on the outside. And if you went up and grabbed a woman on the crotch in a park, you'd get charged with a felony, and you should. Well, how do they do it here? One DA I had on said it's only a misdemeanor. Regardless, enforce it. We don't even need a new bill. We need to have the state police be ordered by the state. We need to enforce the law. But regardless, pass a law, give the feds fair warning. Some of the media said, well, it's ineffectual. Who cares if the state passes it? The feds will just ignore it. No, the feds understood this was a state rights challenge. And at a federal level, trying to also enforce the Fourth Amendment. So the feds said, we'll run a blockade. We'll run a no-fly zone. We'll shut your state down. Now, that's the difference between a state that honors liberty and freedom. Texas isn't perfect, but it's known as the, you know, state where there's straight talk and people are rugged individualist. And the House did the right thing, led the way in the nation of these other 20-plus states looking at it. They passed it in the House three times, unanimous, went to the Senate, had 30 of the 31 votes, way more votes than we needed. And you know why they had to kill it? Because it was veto-proof. The governor wouldn't have been able to veto something with that many votes. And Rick Perry needs to play like, you know, now he's anti-NAFTA superhighway. He was the champion. He was the guy who tried to forcibly inoculate girls with a deadly Gardasil shot on record killing people. He's the guy who got the state franchise tax paid, that is an income tax on business owners, that got the hospital district tax passed, that is a property tax on businesses. I mean, this guy is about as conservative as Bill Clinton. I mean, he literally is an Al Gore with a Texas accent prancing around. And now that he's getting ready to run for president, he has positioned himself as let's secede, fight the New World Order. Meanwhile, 3 years ago, it's in my film Endgame. Film ends with it. 3.5 years ago, he goes to Bilderberg, 2008. Now, Bilderberg, 2007, or is it 8? No, 2008. No, 2007 in Greece. So he's a globalist showing they were getting him ready for president then. And so here's the difference. Even 20 years ago, nobody got permits to demonstrate because you don't need a permit for something that's already a right. A license or a permit is authorization to do something that's already illegal, so you've got to get permission. And now look at us where you try to, and I saw them doing it to tourists too. Any excuse for the security guards, the cops, the mall cops to get in your face, to treat you like a slave, to scream at you, to treat you like garbage. In the nation's supposed heart, in the cradle of our republic, and it's the same thing in many other states, but whether you agree with our views against the TSA groping or disagree, or whether you agree with the folks in Madison, Wisconsin, or disagree, that, taking over the Capitol, that is what true freedom looks like, and that's the proper position of government and citizen. When you have liberty, the government fears the people. When you have tyranny, the people fear the government. Now, we've got a good chance to resurrect this bill. Get your pens and paper ready. The House is going into special session. Stay with us.
There are always criminals that get control of government and try to train you that they dominate you, and there's no doubt that's happening today. This place is infested with parasites. This place is infested with offshore lobbyists. Anyone in this Texas Senate that does not on record say they will vote to kick the feds out of here and force their blockade, call their hand, is an enemy of the republic.
All right, folks.
We're invading a den of iniquity.
We're going to be putting more of the raw footage out at PrisonPlanet.tv and the YouTube channel in the next few days. But this is a fight that not just the U.S. faces, but worldwide, the threat of staged and manufactured and provocateured terror, there's also terror that's real and generally protected, is being used as an excuse to destroy our liberties and our freedoms. And the good news is Utah and others are saying they're going to call the bluff of the feds. They're introducing the legislation that's a carbon copy of the state of Texas. So very exciting things are happening. Now, the state concluded its session that they have every 2 years. They had to go into emergency session, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports, after Senator Wendy Davis of Fort Worth had a filibuster. Rick Perry did not want a special session because he doesn't want to announce he's running for president until the session's over, so that stalls him another month or so. And they're now saying it could last as long as 30 days, but Perry, so far, has only brought two bills up in the Texas special session that he's called. The school aid package and a Medicaid delivery package. Now, he's got a special session 30 days for those two pieces that were on the verge of being hammered out. No, Perry. I thought you said Perry. See, caught right here. He always does this. He's a master politician. He has his minion, came up with him under Karl Rove, David Dewhurst, lieutenant governor, who can kill things in the Senate. One of the strongest positions in state government ever created is the Texas lieutenant governor, has more power than the governor. He controls the Senate. David Dewhurst, the head of the Senate, that's the lieutenant governor here. What did he tell Senator Dan Patrick and others? He said, I don't want the public knowing I'm killing this. I don't want my fingerprints on it. And Rick Perry had said that it was a priority this bill be passed after the House unanimously passed it. Then his minion, his best buddy, the guy he campaigns with, David Dewhurst, secretly kills it. And then Rick Perry, it says, was upset and frustrated by Davis's filibuster that was forcing the new special session, called lawmakers back to work immediately on two bills. Among them, the groping bill, the TSA groping ban is not among them. Think about the magnitude of that. Perry is claiming he wants this bill passed, but he has his fellow Republican, fellow operative, another CIA guy, Dewhurst, kill the bill. He doesn't want that known. They want to blame it all on the horrid state senator, Kirk Watson, who on the Democratic side reportedly was also helping kill it. But this all falls with Rick Perry and David Dewhurst. And if Rick Perry does not announce this bill and does not put it back into the special session, you know he supports it. And that should be a national issue when he runs for president, that he secretly sided and got caught with the Obama Justice Department, who was in there working with Dewhurst. And now we know the governor, because the governor has not brought this up. Now, we need to lobby right now to call the governor's office and to absolutely blast him with phone calls. Now, they have toll-free numbers if you want the citizen opinion line, and that goes directly into a black hole. It's a recorded message, 800-252-9600, 800-252-9600. I would call the main switchboard. The main switchboard's 512-463-2000, 512-463-2000, 512-463-2000. But I would do more than that. He's deciding what to put in the special session. I think today or tomorrow, and I'm thinking about it right now, we need to go back down there and this time go to Governor Rick Perry's office in the Capitol. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Especially if Perry doesn't put it on the special session calendar now, we know who to blame. We're going to go back to his office and Dewhurst office.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, coming up, experts say cell phones are carcinogenic. CNN has got a report coming out. World Health Organization has now officially listed mobile phones use in the same carcinogenic hazard category as lead, engine exhaust, and chloroform. We're going to be going over all of that today. They knew this back in the 1980s with the studies that were done at that time. Now, coming up, I'm also going to get into a host of other issues. Big Sis pre-crime system to scan Americans for malintent. Footage of Western troops confirms criminality of war on Libya. We're going to be going over all of that today. New Mexico Supreme Court lets cops grab guns during stops. That's right, they can take your guns. No criminality, legal guns. These state Supreme Courts are really getting tyrannical. Very important news on the economic front. But over the weekend, I saw footage from the RT show Adam and the Man with Adam Kokesh. I've been a guest on there a few times. It's a great show. It's got Luke Radowski as a contributor as well. And Adam is a American activist, talk radio host. Kokesh was a corporal, United States Marine Corps, and a veteran of the Iraq War. He is an outspoken opponent of U.S. military intervention in Iraq. Since 2010, Kokesh has hosted, the TV show Adam versus the Man, and he also hosts a show out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. AdamVersusTheMan.com is the website. But the reason I wanted to get him on is last week, they tried to go to the memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, and just quietly dance. I guess kind of like Charlie Veach and the Love Police, to illustrate no matter how loving what you do is, they want to arrest you. And I can't play the whole 10-minute clip here, but it's up on Infowars.com. It's up at RT, Adam versus the Man. But they ask them, they go, what's the law? And they say, I'm not going to tell you. There is no law. Okay? And they body slam them into the ground. We're going to play that clip in a moment. But the issue here is, compare this to Texas, where I march in with over 100 people, yell and scream at the, in the politicians' faces, and they understand that's their place, just like in Madison, Wisconsin. In a free country, the government fears the people don't fear the government. And things are becoming completely 180 degrees in the direction that they should be. And so joining us is Adam Kokesh. Adam, what made you decide to do this demonstration?
I just felt like dancing. We were challenging the cops to a dance-off, and apparently they didn't like our move. So they decided to end it a little bit forcefully. But if you see the video and you see what happened, I think we made our point, and we proved that the Parks Police, as I would say to one of the officers there, you know, nice badge, sorry about your penis. But they, they're not very good dancers, and they're obviously compensating for something. But I think you really hit the nail on the head here about the nature of government and fear, and why this is such a powerful action, and why we have now thousands of people coming back to the Jefferson Memorial next Saturday on June 4th, the anniversary of Tiananmen Square, to dance again and show them that their court rulings and their laws are irrelevant. When we want to go out, we want to have fun, and we want to assert our rights, we're going to do it. Whether or not they're going to stop us, it's not going to matter. And we show the true nature of the police force with this. It's they want us to be afraid. And I think the police officers there, they knew they were being filmed. They wanted to have forceful arrests. They wanted to show people getting hurt.
They wanted to show us they were the boss. What about this? Some of the peaceful demonstrators who were doing German waltzes silently with the guy with his girlfriend. They slam him
not
in.
Even.
They're
not
slamming
even,
their.
Like, swaying back and forth.
That's right. They arrested people, for folks watching on TV, for just barely moving now does not show proper respect to our gods. But expanding on that, Adam, then some of you dare say, what am I being charged with? What have I done wrong? And they say, shut up, and begin slamming people against the wall for then daring speak to the gods, even while they're under arrest. And police now admit they use tasers as a punishment as well.
Well, it's not exactly the gods, but pretty close. We were at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial, and it was really cool. At the end of this event, the statue of Thomas Jefferson came alive and started shooting lasers out of its eyes and killed all the police officers. They were vaporized instantly. at least there was justice served at the Jefferson Memorial on Saturday. But no, we're talking about the foremost defender of speech and liberty in America's history. As I've been finding out from people commenting on my Facebook page, it's been really ironic, but Thomas Jefferson, incidentally, was a large promoter of dancing and liked to play the violin and would spontaneously bust out his fiddle and encourage people to dance. It's just this amazing, the irony to this. It just keeps getting compounded more.
No, I understand.
And,
Adam, let's expand on this now. A few dozen of you were there, it looks like, where this happened. Now you're coming back this next weekend, and you're asking for more people to show up. I think this is very important. Tell us the date and time and why you're doing this.
Well, because the Hitler meme on YouTube, people putting their own captions on that scene from the movie where Hitler's angry with all of his generals. They did one about this. They actually mentioned you in it, Alex Jones. It said Alex Jones would have real credibility if Kokesh's people are able to challenge this authority here. And, that's what this is about. It's about peaceful civil disobedience. We're going to go back. We're going to dance. We're going to tell them it doesn't matter. But in that video, they're saying, look, we take and we poison their air and their water. We feel their daughter's vaginas at the airport. And now they won't just stop dancing? And I think that's the power of an event like this. So next Saturday at noon on June 4th, we are going back to the Jefferson Memorial. We're asking people to join us. Just join us in dancing silently with your headphones on. We're not going to interrupt any tourists that might be there, their ability to enjoy the memorial the way that the judge who decided that this was illegal would see fit. We're going to do our thing. We're going to express ourselves. We are going to pay homage to Thomas Jefferson, not the way that the government sees fit, but the way that we see fit. And what we really revealed with what we did about this that is inspiring so many people to be involved, why we know we're going to have way more dancers backing us up for round two of this dance-off with the Parks Police.
Adam. You've got to illustrate the absurdity by illustrating how absurd they are.
The idea that the police force is there to keep you safe or to protect you from terrorists or to chase down criminals, those are just excuses for the two true real purposes of the police state for the government, which is to generate revenue for the government and to control the population. And that fact was really laid bare by what we did and the actions of the police there on Saturday.
Adam, let me ask you a question, and then we're going to play a clip and call you back on a landline here, or at least try to, so we can hear you clearer. Have you seen the footage of the way the state police, Capitol Police in Texas, honored free speech, honored the First Amendment?
All right, hold on. We're just losing right. I'm in the RT Studios right now. We just so happened after the RT operation in here, we have an FBI office up here, so we might be getting a little bit of interference. So why don't you go ahead and play that clip, and I'll stay on the line and get that number in, and I'll be able to get you back on a landline here.
Okay, we'll call you right back, Adam. We're going to go ahead and play this clip of the folks dancing, and then once they started arresting members that were dancing, Adam and others would just barely move their arms like they were grooving a little bit, and the cops would run over, and they look, most of them, like 12-year-olds on power trips, slam them down to the ground, jump on them, and then once they had them in handcuffs, they would shove them against the wall if they dared talk. And I also wanted to ask Adam, I've been to D.C. twice in the last few years, and every time the police, the security guards that they have out in public places treat you like you're in North Korea. I mean, they scream at you with hatred like you have murdered their children. And they've obviously been told, run the slaves into submission, break their will. And that's what this is all about. Let's go ahead and play that clip. Here it is.
We're in love.
Touching each other. So we're stopping. We're stopping. We're stopping. You are not arresting us for standing here.
For what?
Here it is.
You didn't even give me a warning.
Dancing in a public area.
You didn't give me a warning.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave our friends behind. Because if cops don't dance, and if they don't dance with us, no friends of mine. Unbelievable.
And they start arresting people that dare even swing their arms. He's going to arrest them. Look, they keep dancing, illustrating how absurd this is. I mean, nothing's more important than our liberties and our freedoms. Meanwhile, the borders are wide open, war is increasing. Foreign banks have stolen $27 trillion and growing. Here's a young woman being arrested. Oh, here's the slamming into the ground.
I got a broken shoulder. I've got a bad shoulder.
All right. Well, there you have it. And then the footage goes on. I suggest you watch the whole clip. It's AdamVersusTheMan.com or InfoWars.com. It's up on both sites. That once they get them in that position, then if they dare speak back to their kings, they're physically attacked. Land of the free, home of the brave. You can tell the government is here to let us know that we basically better step and fetch it. Now, Adam, you live in D.C. now. So did I just have bad luck the last two times I was there to be 200 yards from the Washington Memorial videotaping for B-roll and to have people run up and threaten to arrest me or videotape from across the street at a park, the Library of Congress?
I wish I could say that was bad
Supreme
luck.
Court.
Or that was because people, especially would know who you are here, but they do that to anybody who's a threat in D.C. That's just how it works. That's how it's set up. It's intended to suppress dissent. So that.
But I want to be clear. I'm clean cut.
Doesn't happen in D.C.
Listen, I'm clean cut with a national news crew, just a couple guys with cameras on parks, anywhere, on sidewalks, and they run over and get in your face and say you can't videotape. And then the production crew said, funny, we went to the D.C. government and ask for permits, and they say we're a permit-free city. So, see, you got to get a permit that doesn't exist, Adam.
Well, I would never attribute to conspiracy what can be adequately explained by government incompetence, and that is certainly in a balance here with the confusion between 13 different agencies or so that have jurisdiction within the District of Columbia, but they all have, you know, the same law enforcement, police state mentality, the same intent of suppressing rights and making sure that troublemakers stay out of the way of the politicians doing their thing, screwing over the rest of America.
Let me ask you this, because your phone was cutting out and you couldn't hear me. Have you seen our storming of the Texas Capitol?
Yes.
How can you...
We played a clip of that on Adam versus the Man after it happened. I was very excited that you did something like that and very glad because we covered it in terms of, you know, Rick Perry not having a spine to stand up to the federal government. He's about to run for president. I mean, should the Republican Party be supporting such a supporter of the federal government over states' rights? That's pretty offensive. And I was really glad that you were there to call that out and stick it to him for that.
Sure. The reason I raise it, though, is illustrating our state police showing how government servants act, honoring our boisterous, you know, in-their-face activity versus you guys, what they did to you in D.C. I mean, the two different Americas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is something that I didn't expect to be so compelling, but it's kind of striking now, the significance of this, you know. Obviously, if you look at the footage, I'm not much of a dancer. And if there was such a thing as a legal definition of dancing, the cops there were just as guilty of it as we were. But a lot of people are saying, well, you know, even if there is a legal definition of dancing, there is no way that Adam Kokesh can be guilty of this because the video clearly demonstrates that I can't dance. The thing is, about it being about dancing, I know it's ridiculous. But the reason I mention that Hitler video is because it really lays it bare, and it talks about you and your message. And it's like if you say, come protest Monsanto, come protest the war, come protest the president, come, you know, it doesn't work. You know, and I've been doing that too, and that's the thing that I've been blown away by the power of this, that I never expected it to take off the way it has. Our video that we put up was the second one that got on YouTube. It's already over 650,000 views right now. The thing is, yesterday we weren't even the top viewed video in news and politics on YouTube. We were the top three viewed videos on news and politics. It has been reposted. It is going truly viral. People all over the world now are organizing events to dance in solidarity with us on next Saturday at noon. We have people coming from as far away as Dallas. A friend of mine, Jared Atkinson, who's a big Ron Paul activist down there, he's flying in to D.C. for this. We have people all over the Eastern Seaboard driving in saying, all right, you want to make it about dancing? Let's dance. And they're throwing down, and this is the thing that's bringing people together. This is the thing that lays it bare, for which none of their propaganda, none of their arguments, none of their bullshit divide-and-conquer strategies, none of that is going to mean crap next Saturday. People are coming together to say, you can't tell us not to dance. Simple as that. And that it's so beautiful to see how people are coming together about this. And it's all the videos that people are remixing for this. I mean, I told you, there's two other videos that have over 400,000 views. There's a dozen videos that are 100,000 views plus right now. People are reposting, you know, the interview I did with Russia Today yesterday. It's really amazing how this is getting around. And people are quoting Gandhi now, from the movie. They can break my bones, they can kill me, but when they do, all they will have is my dead body, but not my obedience. And when I got arrested, I was wearing, very deliberately, my Gandhi t-shirt. It had a Gandhi's portrait on it, and in the style of the Andre the Giant, obey, except underneath, it says, disobey.
Well, Adam, that's my point, is that the tyranny has gotten so absurdist now that the Texas tyrants did the smart thing and didn't arrest us because they knew it would lead to a chain reaction.
Yep.
The D.C. tyrants did the wrong thing, and it's now going to backfire. High Noon, yep. The Jefferson Memorial, it's a genius idea. And we've got to illustrate the tyrants' absurdity by making them show us who they really are. They could have laughed. The guards could have even joined you. It would have been a great...
Nothing. Well, who would have been the bigger ass? I would have stood there and danced for, like, you know, 10 minutes. We would have all looked at each other awkwardly and walked away and been like, yeah, we defeated this little judge's rule.
it's a global phenomenon. Like, you know, and I'm just, I'm flattered that so many people are inspired by it, because I really wasn't counting on it. But now I'm kind of like smacking myself in the forehead going, duh, you know. But when I saw this event, it wasn't my idea. I got to give credit to the other organizers, Eddie Dickey and Jared Denman, who came up with the idea after the court ruling that said you couldn't dance there. And I saw it, and I was just like, absolutely, you know, I'm getting behind that. And then the video happened, you know, the incident happened on Saturday. The video's getting around, and it's just kind of taken off from there. But that's what's so beautiful.
Adam, stay
so
there. Simple. I know you've got to go, but I want to hold you for five more minutes into the next segment, because this is very exciting what's happening. And it shows the incredible hunger for liberty and people wanting to resist. I want to talk to you about the TSA on the other side. Can we get people to peacefully storm their capitals as well nationwide? It's up to the people. You know, watching the footage of Adam Kokesh and others being arrested, you see this little toady who's a, quote, professional tour guide, very pleased they're being arrested. And then the cops are kind of shoving him out of the way, and he starts groveling to them. You see these people that think freedom is all about licking government boots. We need everywhere to let the system know that they're not going to cow us. And Adam, earlier when your cell phone was cutting out, I want you to continue with the point you were trying to make, that if they're sticking their hands down our pants, if they're grabbing us, this is about you're not going to dance, we're going to touch your private parts, we're going to take blood at checkpoints. I mean, we've got to stand up and reignite that spirit of liberty, and to watch how what you guys have done is catching fire, what I've done, what Ron Paul, anytime somebody stands up for liberty, it's having a huge effect because people are hungry for it. Please continue.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, it's from that. I got the idea from the video that someone made on the Hitler in the bunker meme that's so popular on YouTube. And it's like Adam Kokesh finds out, or Hitler finds out about the Adam Kokesh dance party. And he's saying, how is this possible? We feel their daughter's vaginas at the airports. We tax them for 50% of their income. They don't have any freedoms left anyways. Of course, why wouldn't they obey us? They have to obey us. They have to stop dancing. And one of the generals there, you know, it cuts to the general goes, mein Führer, I'm sorry. It didn't work as planned, actually. They're coming back next Saturday, and that's when he really explodes and says, you know, well, if this works, Alex, people are gonna be, you know, giving Alex Jones even more credibility, and it's just, it's really powerful. But that's the thing, and it's like, we the people took it to this point. We let our government get away with all of this other crap, and then we're surprised that they say, no, you can't dance here.
And by the way, if they want to call out the police dogs and the sound cannons, then what, same thing happened to Gandhi being beat in the head, then that'll cause even more people to stand up and say no, because the British Empire did the same absurdist things there. Well, I want to commend you and the other activists there in D.C. Too bad Luke couldn't be there, but I know he's now gone to Europe ahead of time.
I think he's going to be dancing in solidarity with us, and that's what's really cool about this. So many people are inspired by what's going on. There are events being organized in Texas, even. I bet there's going to be one at the Capitol in Austin. You know, do a little jig at noon for us in solidarity, if you like. But we are literally dancing down the police state here.
Well, I have to commend you, and the good news in Texas is they're going to a special session. We need to try to get Perry to add to the special session the anti-groping bill. Perry claimed that he was backed off by the feds, but notice he didn't add this to the special session, showing us that through Dewhurst, who we know killed it behind the scenes, that he doesn't want to be forced to vote on this as he gets ready to run for president. So it's not just that he's been cowed. He is a creature of Karl Rove and this system. So no orders from headquarters, just whoever's against this tyranny, show up at the Jefferson Memorial.
Yep.
And hopefully you guys can then go dance at some other memorials afterwards.
Absolutely. And this is not something that is being organized or put together by anybody. I'm just inviting my friends to come join me next Saturday. If you think that making dancing is illegal is bad, then show up Saturday at noon at the Jefferson Memorial. There's a Facebook event called Dance Party at TJ's. So check it out. It's on my page for Adam versus the Man there. You can just search on Facebook for Adam Kokesh. It's Kokesh. AdamVersusTheMan.com. You'll find it all there. But it's so beautiful. I really want people to help share this, even if they don't want to be a part of it physically. And apparently you don't have to be much of a dancer to get arrested for dancing. You can, as you said, Alex, you can just be swaying your arms and being in the wrong place.
And imagine the headlines worldwide. You know, they talk about other countries where they arrest violent protesters and how it's wrong. This, imagine, people arrested in Beijing today in Tiananmen Square for dancing. Yeah. Imagine, American government arrests thousands for dancing. It just illustrates how out of control these thugs are. Adam, will continue to talk to you throughout the week as this develops. Stay with us. Tons of news coming up.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, I am going to reset, refocus coming up in the next segment on the world news, the economic news, the military news, the good news that all over the country, multiple states like Utah, Wyoming, Montana, and others are saying, we're going to call the feds bluff. We're going to pass legislation saying the TSA can't break the law and molest people, and you go ahead and shut down air traffic. And it isn't over in Texas till the fat lady sings. Rick Perry's been caught in treachery. A special session's been announced. He has not put in the special session. He says only two bills, but he's still got time to add the anti-TSA groping bill. If he cared so much about this bill, he would have put this in the special session. So we're calling Perry's office and telling him he better do it, or it's going to be well known that through his minion Dewhurst, he killed this. We know Dewhurst has been caught killing it. Now, continuing here, ladies and gentlemen, with the news and information, we've got some other really important news. We're seeing state Supreme Courts. It's a battle between liberty and tyranny right now. It's toe-to-toe. The globalists have committed so many crimes. They've run wild. They have stolen so much wealth, engaged in so many crimes. They've got to close the door on freedom now. Because freedom, and our Constitution and Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, created fail-safe systems that if we use them will checkmate the globalists. The globalists are illegitimate. That's why they're trying to socially engineer us to be able to engage in whatever activity they want, whenever they want. And I know that many of you are awake to this fact, but now is the time to reach out to everyone else we know and let them understand that we are going into a depression. It has been designed. And the globalists want to use the crisis they've created to get even more power and totally alter the makeup of our society, a rewrite, an overwrite of our system. It needs to be resisted now. The war is now. The battle for liberty is now. I'm also in the next segment going to give the number out and start opening the phones up throughout the balance of the broadcast until the last 30 minutes of the show when Ron Paul's favorite constitutional lawyer is going to be joining us, Bruce Fine, Chairman of the American Freedom Agenda, AmericanFreedomAgenda.org. He's going to be joining us to talk about Obama's promise to veto worldwide war bill rings hollow. Obama says he'll veto that congressional bill because it doesn't give him enough power. The thing basically gives him unlimited power. So that is all coming up as well. And then, of course, the state courts I mentioned, like Indiana coming out 2 weeks ago and saying, we can go in any house, any time without a warrant for any reason or no reason at all, the Chief Justice said. And that ties into this New Mexico Supreme Court lets cops grab guns during stops. Supreme Court allows police to take all firearms from law-abiding motorists during traffic stops, even though they're completely and absolutely legal. So that is coming up after the break as well. Also, DNC chair says illegal immigration is not a crime. Notice the feds throw the book at you for things that shouldn't even be illegal. and create all these new extrajudicial laws for the general public, regardless of what color or race or religion you are. If you're an American, you're seen as a schmuck, as a sucker, as a cow to be fed on by these wolves. But then meanwhile, the illegals driving the wages down, voting almost unanimously in anti-gun legislation whenever they do get legalized to vote. Very dangerous precedents. We're going to be going over all of that today. And I'll go ahead and give the number out now on any of these subjects I've mentioned. The toll-free number to join us is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. My websites are InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, and PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, I want to start going to your phone calls, interspersed with key news and information at the next segment coming up here in about 15 minutes. The toll-free number to join us on this live Tuesday, the 31st day of May, 2011 edition, is 800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. Now, I want to get into the latest fight here in Texas that is a national, international fight against the TSA. We've still got a chance to pass the anti-groping bill. But resistance is victory. Other states are moving, saying they will call the feds bluff, Utah namely. We've also got incredible nanny state activity. Fireworks shows need new environmental review. Court ruling could have sweeping impact. That's in San Diego. Another report here, $4,000 fine for church in North Carolina for trimming their own tree. This is the nanny state, while the incredible crimes of the globalist just intensify. We've also got the World Health Organization admitting what we already knew. Cell phones can cause increased cancer risk. That's been known all along, and it's time for folks to go hands-free. That way it's only radio waves and not microwave radiation up close to your head. Still not good for you. We're going to be breaking all of that down today. But let me first get into this report, and then part of a video report, lest you're a radio listener and don't pull up the news article and have basically lost your memory and don't remember this lie. Obama, U.S. involvement in Libya action would last days, not weeks. That was a quote, and now here we are, many, many months later, close to 3 months after the U.N. declaration. The United Nations said that it wouldn't be a war, it would be a humanitarian action. And that means attack helicopters, 2,000-pound bombs, Hellfire missiles, cruise missiles. It's now admitted that before the whole crisis began in the west of Libya, bordering Egypt, that U.S. and British special forces were, quote, advising them. They've now been videotaped on the ground with weapons on the front lines. And again, I'm no fan of Muammar Gaddafi. But the fact is they've been trying to assassinate him. They've been killing members of his family while telling us, oh, we wouldn't violate international law. We're not trying to assassinate his family. Oh, this isn't a military action. It's a kinetic action. So in your face, they've now surpassed, in all of our faces, they've now surpassed 1984 in ridiculous, obvious lies. That was the whole point of doublespeak and doublethink and Orwellianism, is that the lies were so ridiculous in the fictional book, where for 2 years they say we're always at war with East Asia, the next day we've never been at war with East Asia, and if you say, well, you just said yesterday you were at war with East Asia, and even had the newspaper article, they would drag you off and torture you for 6 months until you were completely insane and actually believed that you'd never been at war with East Asia. And that's basically the type of world we're entering into where reality doesn't matter and they just throw all of this in our face and don't care. But remember, Obama said we'd be there maybe a week, probably just a couple days. They never intended to just bomb them for a few days. It's a takeover. And it'll take whatever they have to do to overthrow Gaddafi and bring in their Muslim Brotherhood / Al-Qaeda Saudi Arabian-backed group. They use the same folks against the Serbs, same folks against the Russians. It never ends. And they use the same threat of the same group to put in the naked body scanners and the checkpoints and the national ID cards and the warrantless wiretapping and all of this corruption. That's why I've always said Al-Qaeda is the magic skeleton key. It'll open any door for the New World Order as long as we buy into the hoax. The minute we wake up to the stage terror, then the hoax doesn't work anymore. Now continuing, Obama, U.S. involvement in Libyan action would last days, not weeks. ABC News. President Obama told a bipartisan group of members of Congress today that he expects the U.S. would be actively involved in any military action against Libya for days, not weeks, after which he said the U.S. would take more of a supporting role, sources tell ABC News. Well, I guess that supporting role is increasing with more and more U.S. forces landing in the country. And here's a clip from ABC News of that.
The unpredictable and dangerous mind of Muammar Gaddafi.
Oh, no.
Today, President Obama told Americans that U.S. forces may be called into military action once again, this time against Gaddafi, joining other countries trying to keep the dictator from savaging his own people.
Oh.
Tonight, we set out to answer three big questions. Will other countries like England, France, Arab nations really take the lead in Libya? Can the American military stretch so thin in Afghanistan and Iraq add another burden? And is there a chance that Gaddafi will fold, even though he's threatening retaliation? Our team has been reporting on this all day, is standing by, and we'll start with Jake Tapper.
The point is, you can watch the whole clip, and it's got the clip later in there of Obama. But the headline is, Obama, U.S. involvement in Libyan action would last days, not weeks. See, getting into a new war so oil companies get trillions more in oil, that's called stepping up. Remember Donald Trump came out and said, we need to take the Iraqi oil for the American people. As if you're ever going to get any of that oil. You pay for the military takeover, and then your oil prices go up. They were angry at Iraq going back 8 years ago because Iraq was overpumping and driving down the price. Go back to the newspapers at the time. OPEC, run by Saudi Arabia, was hopping mad because to pay off his debts, Saddam Hussein was overpumping and driving down prices. That was saving you money. By the way, remember what Dr. Corsi said a few weeks ago, a week and a half ago? He said, look for... Now Donald Trump did not just get his $60 million contract with NBC for playing possum with Obama on the birth certificate, but look for him to now get approval for the casinos he's trying to put in there in Chicago and Illinois. Here's Reuters. Illinois House approves bill allowing casinos in Chicago. They've got their man, Rahm, in Chicago. Interesting little coincidence, I would say, wouldn't you? So we have this report, and then we have other reports here. Footage of Western troops confirms criminality of war on Libya, violates the UN's authorization. We have another report. Gaddafi snatch squads took hundreds of men and boys from Misrata, London Independent. And maybe that's true. I'm sure Gaddafi is a bad guy. The difference here is that our supposed government tortures, secretly arrest. In the new War Powers Bill, it openly states the president can assassinate Americans in America, expanding the War Powers Act, expanding the Enemy Commissions Act, the Enemy Combatant Act, the Military Commissions Act, expanding all of that. Well, you read this article, and it's terrible. It says he may even be torturing. And earlier they claimed he ran to Venezuela and they claimed that he had men, teams with Viagra raping women. The State Department had to admit that that was not true. They had to admit that was a lie, but the public still thinks it's true because they heard it. See, they put the big lie out and announce it for a few weeks and then quietly retract it later. Kind of like the average American still thinks Saddam was throwing babies out of incubators, even though 6 months after that war ended, they admitted it was all a PR ploy and fake. It's admitted to be a hoax. But in some polls I've seen, more than half of conservative Americans believe WMDs were found in Iraq. I've seen polls out where more than half of Americans still believe that across the board babies were thrown out of incubators. And it doesn't matter if the State Department admitted that there weren't rape teams running around raping en masse. I mean, what a PR disaster that would be. Now, they go on to talk about torture and things like this. How can they criticize snatch and grab when our government's openly pioneering it and pushing it in the modern age? How can they talk bad about torture when the good guys torture? Well, wait, Gaddafi must be the good guy then if he's torturing. See, this is the Orwellian doublethink that's going on. Gaddafi's snatch squads took hundreds of men and boys. It goes on, the lifting of the siege of the embattled Libyan city has revealed the disappearance of hundreds of people. Yeah, there was a war there, with many of them suspect victims of snatch squads loyal to the Gaddafi regime, relatives and rights workers said yesterday. And see, once they take that country over, the globalists, they'll be able to put in kangaroo courts that will indict a ham sandwich. It's just like the Hague Court is admittedly completely unfair. You don't get to call your own witnesses. Most people end up dying like Slobodan Milosevic in custody. It's just totally fake. Continuing, a desperate search has begun for the disappeared, in quotes, many of whom were reported to have been taken away to regime prisons or killed during some of the fiercest fighting of the three-month rebel uprising that has reduced parts of the city to rubble. Witnesses' accounts gathered by the independent and rights groups indicate there was a systematic attempt to kidnap men from parts of the city. Even worse, there may have been torture. And it goes on to talk about torture. Oh, my gosh. Well, wait, but torture's good. But wait, it's bad. But wait, it's good. But wait, it's bad. But wait, it's good. Federal and state courts have ruled that police can use tasers as punishment. When you're chained down, or when you won't give a urine sample in a hospital bed, that's standard procedure now. In fact, folks won't believe it. A search, please. Judge rules taser can be used for punishment. Torture. I've got footage in my film, Martial Law, 911 Rise of the Police State, of police breaking people's arms for punishment for sitting on the sidewalk in front of abortion clinics. Now, whether what you think of abortion or not, they're sitting there on a sidewalk, and the federal judge ruled, we can break your arms. Bones stick out, purple bones out of the meat. Right out. Oh, that's freedom. That's torture. That's what the good guys do. So Gaddafi deserves the Congressional Medal of Honor then. He's a great patriot. Okay, we'll go to your calls here in the next segment. I wanted to finish up with this extrajudicial tyranny. So we have them hyperventilating over unconfirmed reports that Gaddafi has arrested guerrilla soldiers and that he may have tortured some of them. They've told a bunch of other lies that have been proven to be lies, but we're supposed to just believe whatever new garbage we're fed under these psyops. And now, coming out last Friday, Obama promises veto to worldwide bill rings hollow. And when you actually read his letter to the Congress saying he'll veto it, he says because it doesn't give him enough power and because he gets his power from the UN, as he said a month ago in that letter saying that he went to the UN for authority instead of Congress because it builds the credibility of the United Nations. And so the ACLU's running defense on this, telling their leftist followers that a lot of times do support basic rights, who are well-meaning people, oh, Obama says no to this bill. Obama is already secretly arresting and torturing. He's already launching new wars. He's already using UN authority. And so Congress, instead of getting mad about Obama almost 3 months ago now, following the UN order and launching a new war in Libya and not even consulting Congress, instead, they run to him And we played the Ron Paul speech Friday, 5-minute speech, where he said the last nail in the coffin, this is the end of the republic. This allows secret arrest of citizens, secret killing of U.S. citizens in America. Bush talked about that. Obama's people have talked about that. You got Cash Sunstein saying arrest people they disagree with. The head regulations are. I mean, these are despots. And so this is all you need to know about the mainline Republicans and Democrats in Congress, is that they would go to the president and say, here is total power. And Obama says, I don't want that. I've already got it. I don't need you to give me authorization. That's like somebody running up to a tyrant and saying, master, master, I've opened the drawbridge for you. Everyone's asleep during the city. I poisoned the guards. Bring your army in. And the evil general says, I don't need your help, scum, and stabs the traitor in the heart. By the way, historically, that's what's done. The groups that open the drawbridge, the groups that give you the secret passageways under the city, you always kill them first because you paid them 100 talons of gold to let you into the city. Now it's going to be your city. You don't leave that same backstabber in place to take the next 100 talons or 200 talons of gold a year or two down the road to let the next tyrant in. So the House and Senate runs, and the House is the main group that passed this, runs to Obama saying, you are our imperial ruler. We are here to make the presidency into absolute dictatorship. That's not my opinion. That's the constitutional law scholars. That's Ron Paul. We've got one of the foremost scholars coming up in an hour and 3 minutes from now to break this down. And they said, master, you are now emperor. You are now Caesar. You are now Tyrannus the Great. And Obama says, get out of my way, and just slaps him. I've got the UN. And they just servilely curl up and grovel and, yes, master, yes, oh, yes, oh, whatever you say. I mean, this is the pathetic, bootlicking position that we've been brought down to in this country. Given the fact the Obama administration is now involved in more conflicts and has more troops deployed, he just sent even more to Iraq than any time during the Bush administration, how confident should we be that a government promise to veto the alarming worldwide war provision contained in the National Defense Authorization Act will be kept? And then Watson breaks it all down. But we do have Mr. Fine joining us to break this down, Bruce Fine, coming up later in the broadcast. In other news, dealing with the abject tyranny unfolding all over our country and all over the world, I wanted to break this down ahead of your calls. Fireworks shows need new environmental review. And this is out of the San Diego Herald Tribune. So in San Diego wants to have a fireworks display, they've got to go to a federally licensed priest. That's what these new environmental groups are, to get an assessment to say it's okay. What type of toilet? What type of house? What type of light bulb? This is the new control system. And of course, if you're an Obama buddy or an insider, just like with healthcare, you get a waiver. But the point is, they admit this is a huge power grab.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
By the way, the crew did find the article from the Libertarian site where the judge ruled that tasers can be used for punishment, but you can search it yourself and find mainstream news articles where in the last few years they've said that it's basically a form of torture, and we'll put that article up on screen for everybody. Taser torture as summary punishment for noncompliance by William Gregg at the LRC blog. The official rationale for issuing tasers to police officers is that the electroshock devices represent a non-lethal alternative to use of firearm in dealing with situations that threaten the life or safety of an officer or innocent bystanders. In particular terms, however, the taser, which is proven to be a lethal weapon in many cases, has become an instrument of pain compliance. And again, I have footage, unbelievable footage, that YouTube even banned and said was too hardcore of pro-life demonstrators and the federal judge ruling that the police can break bones and they get them in nunchucks and twist till the arm almost completely twist off and the bone sticks out. People are flopping around in pain. Cops pull billy clubs once they've broken the arm and come in for a double serving. These are sadomasochistic people in these videos. And the other cops just stand there while they're doing it. And so what was done decades ago to pro-lifers is now coming to everybody. They're going to have a system where in the future, if they get away with it, where you try to demonstrate, they're going to break your arm. And that's violence. That's an attack with a lethal weapon. That's tyranny. That's Lexington and Concord when the Redcoats came and started shooting at people. And we're trying to fix things peaceable. But the system does not have a right to brutalize you or attack you. And federal courts have ruled. If a cop in the wrong is assaulting you, you have a right to defend yourself. The courts have always ruled if a cop doesn't have a warrant trying to break their way in your house, you have a right to defend yourself. Now, the Indiana Supreme Court says no. For any reason, including no reason at all, we're coming in your house. And the next week, one of the lead sheriffs in the state said we're now going to start door-to-door gun sweeps. And it gets worse. The newspaper, speaking of the devil, out of Indiana, a great publication, New Mexico Supreme Court lets cops grab guns during stops. Supreme Court allows police to take all firearms from law-abiding motorists during traffic stops, even if the guns are legal. And I see this where people have a gun in their car and the cops freak out and take them to jail for no reason. Or you've seen the cases where people wear guns on their hips at demonstrations to point out it's legal. And cops say, I don't care if it's legal. Just happened last week and beat the daylights out of you. Because they're intimidated by you saying, hey, you're not the only ones with the right to have force to defend themselves. Cops have the power to arrest under the citizen arrest power. We incorporate cities. We then empower a security force if we see fit that works for us. That doesn't mean now we can't have guns. Get that through your heads. Now, I know a lot of cops understand this because they've demystified guns. They're around guns. And they understand the Second Amendment more than the general public. I've seen polls of 98% of cops in national polls being pro-gun. But still, many of these, quote, liberal cities, they see you with a gun, they flip out. So we've got to exercise our Second Amendment or lose it. Just like we've got to exercise our right to rally and protest and march inside capitals and get in politicians' faces. Because if we don't, next, they're going to tell us that they're going to forcibly inoculate our kids, that they're going to take blood from us at checkpoints, that they're going to put their hands on our bodies without warrants, that they're going to come in our houses without warrants. Because that's what always happens throughout history 100% of the time. We know what happens in the affairs of men and women. Now, Dewhurst is feeling massive heat right now, massive, massive heat right now, and we're going to get this article up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Rob Dew, will you get this from the Lone Star Report up as fast as you can, get Kurt to or have Matt do it? Dewhurst writes Perry to request anti-groping bill, congressional redistricting on special session call. Dewhurst has gotten such incredible heat after he was exposed by Senator Patrick and others for going around killing the bill last Wednesday, that he is now under the heat going to Perry, asking him to add the bill in with the special session. So we're now forcing them. Notice Perry announced a new special session today, but didn't put in there the anti-groping bill, showing that he was never really for it. But your phone calls are having an effect. This just came out. So very, very exciting news. We're going to get that up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. The fact is the heat that you've been putting on them last week, this week, is just having a huge effect. So great job. I'm going to break that down more in the next hour and give the number out to Rick Perry again, but I promise to go to your phone calls. Just finishing up, though, with Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is UN laws lobbied by the central governments under treaty, and then they lobby the states or regions. And under Agenda 21, that's how you get unified global standardization of spying devices and cameras and phones and computers. It's how you get unified banning of phosphorescent light bulbs and the mandatory fluorescent. That's how you get global standardization to ban first indoor smoking, then outdoor smoking. That's how you get standardization of toilets. It's how you get standardization of federal zoning for home inspections. It's how you get global standardization for carbon taxes. It's all open UN, Rio de Janeiro, 1992, Maurice Strong, openly stating a post-industrial world where to have any job or any business or any farm, any ranch, to build a farm, to build a bridge, to build a walkway, to build a barn, to have chickens, you've got to get government approval. And you can't demand the approval. They decide, just like thousands of companies get waivers from Obama on health care. This is fascism dressed up as liberal socialism. In my historical experience, socialism doesn't exist. It's a magical, fake, made-up, utopian idea. Fascism does. And usually it calls itself socialist. Hitler called himself a national socialist. Mussolini was first a socialist, then changed it to a fascist. And it's a select group grabbing government to then take your tax money and pay it as corporate welfare to mega corporations, who then are the only ones allowed to operate. So, fireworks show needs new environmental review. What started as a battle over fireworks show led to a sweeping legal victory Friday for environmentalists. They're just tyrants under a new name. They're goody two-shoes. Oh, I'm a tyrant, but I'm liberal, so it's okay. That could stymie a wide range of events needing city permits, from rock and roll marathon, they say it's bad for humans to be walking around, to birthday parties held at parks. Oh, yeah, they're ruling that the Amish are being shut down everywhere because dust comes up when they till the soil. But it's only being enforced on them, the idea that dust is illegal. According to the strictest interpretations of this, jumpy jumps and everything else would be subject to environmental review, including birthday parties at city parks, if this ruling stands, said lawyer Robert Howard, who represents the La Jolla Community Fireworks Foundation in the case. It's a breathtaking ruling. They've got to go pay. And if you go to the universities, it's one of the biggest groups are these environmental assessment groups, and they follow the federal regulations. And then you got to pay them a special assessment for them to come wave a magic wand and say if you can have fireworks. Superior Court Judge Linda Quinn said the La Jolla's annual 4th of July fireworks show requires evaluation. Do what? La Jolla. Annual 4th of July fireworks show requires evaluation. So if La Jolla wants an annual 4th of July fireworks show, requires an evaluation under the California Environmental Quality Act. The case filed by the Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation targeted San Diego's approval of La Jolla event by eventually drew in a broad swath of city permits. And they're now going to say you've got to have a permit for a party, anything, anywhere that's public. You can read the whole nightmare article if you want. So this is the new environmental cult that you've got to go to the priest. And then they come out in a session, if you kiss their hind end, pay them enough money, maybe then you can have an event. But wait, there's more. Here's another one out of the Christian Post. And it goes on. Church lands $4,000 fine for excessive tree pruning. A church in Charlotte, North Carolina has been hit by a $4,000 fine for breaking the city's tree trimming regulations. City officials slapped the Presbyterian Church with a $100 per branch for excessive pruning its crepe myrtles, which is a tree brought in. The Charlotte Observer reports, the trees are cut back by the church member, and you cut them back so they grow back better the next year. I've got some crepe myrtles. Every 2 to 3 years, but this is the first time the church has been fined for violating the city's tree ordinance. And it just goes on. That the ordinance has been in place since 78, but is now being enforced across the board. So you don't trim anything without getting them out there. By the way, they use environmental rules all over the country and in Europe to not let you get the permit to put in your own solar on your house. They'll only give you the permit if you wire it in to government. If you wire it into the major power grid and then get your power back from them, the mafia is okay with you. But all over the country, they have code inspectors driving around, even retroactively, looking for windmills, looking for turbines, looking for solar grids. And boy, they pull into your house. They say, did you know you had to get a permit for that? A lot of times people in the news say, well, yeah, you wouldn't come out for a year and give me a permit. And they go, that's right. Now we're going to fine you hundreds, if not thousands. Here in Austin, it's $2,000 a day for 3-inch grass. We've documented that. For until you take that down and then you beg and you wait for me and maybe I'll come out and give you authorization to have those solar panels. Oh, my gosh. I, you know what? I mean, it's just, when does this nightmare end? When do we get these people off of our back? When does it stop? Meanwhile, the crooks in government can steal $27 trillion. They can engage in any crime they want. They can have Dyncorp and Halliburton running giant child kidnapping rings. Don't believe me, just search it. You'll pull up mainstream news with it. They don't get in trouble. Government caught shipping in narcotics. Government breaking the law, surveilling us without warrants. Admittedly illegal. Government molesting people. Now Homeland Security's announced they are going to have the big mobile trucks where they don't just naked body scan you. They put a scanner on your head, and then they decide if you're lying. When you're going in a high school play, or you're going into a rock concert, you're going into a big church, they pull up and they march you onto these trucks, and then their quack computer says that you are putting off brain waves or facial expressions that are evil. And here's the article. Big Sis pre-crime system to scan Americans for malintent. That's all coming up. I mean, this is a control grid of biblical proportions by a criminal state designed to suppress everyone. I mean, let's go to your phone calls. I'm just speechless at this point. Justin in Missouri, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Alex, you may have fired the first shot heard around the country there at the Capitol in Texas. Good job on that.
Well, I just thought I went down and let my public servants know that I'm angry that the State House did the right thing and the Senate killed it. People said, well, you failed. Well, no, now other states are saying they're going to call the federal bluff. Dewhurst and Perry are in trouble on this. Dewhurst is backtracking. Good things are happening.
Got some people following suit, though. That's the main thing.
Yes, sir.
What I wanted to ask you, though, was, Aid, are you going to get on any St. Louis affiliates that you know of?
Where are you in Missouri?
St. Louis.
I am on in Kansas City, and I know one other station in Missouri, but I tell you, we're getting a lot of new affiliates. Just keep, even big marquee stations are picking us up now, so just keep calling local stations. Tell them, you know, Alex Jones is up on all the satellites. He's right there. He's on XM. Cover a Talkers magazine in March. Fastest growing radio show in the country. Pick up the broadcast.
Okay. And I had one final question. 2 weeks ago, Bill O'Reilly was talking about Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad was over there complaining that Europe and some other choice countries over there were draining the clouds before, to cause drought in that area. And they just laughed at him. You know, I was curious if you heard about that or saw it.
Yeah, I did see Ahmadinejad say that. Dubai and other countries have put up the big antenna arrays like HARP. They admit it's for weather modification. Their neighbors are getting mad, saying that when the clouds come over, they ionize them, cause the water particulates to congeal, and then rain on them. There's a actual anti-weather modification treaty passed in 77 and signed on to at the UN level by our government. So I don't know why they joke and laugh about it. The first speech the White House science czar gave 2 years ago when he got into position was about weather modification. And so, yes, there is weather warfare going on. Secretary of Defense William Cohen, April 28th, 1997, gave a speech. It was in Army Times admitting they have the weather weapons. I appreciate your call. Great points, Justin. But you're not supposed to talk about it. Let's talk to John in Texas. John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I wanted to thank InfoWars for linking me on to that excellent documentary, Novo Ordo Seclorum, The Slaughterhouse of Osiris. It was a documentary documenting how the Illuminati, Freemasons, and Wall Street banksters funded the communists and sent them into Russia, and all the horrors that went on there. And the fact that they when they sent them in there, that was to be used as a launching ground for world government.
Absolutely. It's on record that our government and the British government funded the Bolsheviks. It's public record. Anthony Sutton got the congressional documents back in the 70s and 80s and wrote several books on the financing of Hitler, the financing of the communists before that. And look at what our government's setting up now. I mean, every time our criminal, illegitimate government has a chance, what do they put in other countries? They don't put republics in. They don't put democracies in. They put tyrants in. They want tyrants worldwide, so they want tyrants here.
They're building a global Soviet system, and this should be waking up anybody. The fact that they took our manufacturing base, the jobs that support the middle class, and give it to an evil communist police state, that should be signs right there, what they got coming down the road for us.
They gave them tax incentives for more than 25 years to move to China, Mexico, and other places. It's unbelievable. It's all premeditated. And now they're putting every regulation they can in to shut down what's left of our industry, while China, India, Mexico, and 160-plus other countries have to make zero carbon cuts. China builds 3 to 4 new coal power plants a week. We get no more than 2 or 3 a year. And Obama's energy czar, the head of the Department of Energy, announced 2 months ago that they are going to, quote, shut down, quote, massive amounts of coal plants, but not General Electric. The day their new regulations, not law, Congress wouldn't pass it. So Obama just said it's a regulation. Guess who got the waiver? Who gets to build new ones and who doesn't have to upkeep and upgrade them? General Electric. Just like McDonald's doesn't have to get their employees insurance. That stuff goes in at the end of the year for everybody else. It's going to devastate the economy, but that's good. That shuts us down, and then only General Electric and Walmart. We get prisons, Walmarts, military bases. That's the new America. Brainstorming this morning, and it's really simple. Humans behave the same, act the same throughout history. We just have more technology now, and that gives an advantage to individuals that want to expose corruption, but it also gives an advantage to those that are corrupt. And the system can hide in the complexity. That's why the bureaucrats always want to make things more and more complex to hide the corruption, the insider deals. But now they've gotten so arrogant, so hubris-filled, so much chutzpah, bravado, aplomb, whatever word you want to use for it, that Obama's now issued thousands of waivers to giant companies and personal friends that don't have to get insurance for their employees. Do you realize the magnitude of that? I mean, that's magnitude. That is incredible. General Electric can build new plants and not upgrade them, but they've got a $3 billion plant in Corpus Christi that's modern, and they won't let them turn the new coal plant on because they're not part of the insider crew. I mean, this is criminal. And all over the country, $4,000 fine. Let me get the exact amount. Yeah, $4,000 fine because you trimmed crepe myrtles. Even if you believe in that ordinance, you idiots, you're supposed to trim crepe myrtles or they die. You're supposed to trim rose bushes, moron. Oh, I'm just sick of it. I'm just so sick of it. I mean, these control freaks are everywhere. And everything they pass, the laws they pass, what they put in place. I saw a report just 6 months ago, National Australian TV. Half the land in Australia has been laid off use, just randomly. Half of whatever land you own for farming is off limits. Some people have had stuff for over 100 years, sheep farms. They say, you now can't use half of it. That's how we're going to pass our carbon credit level for the UN. And then, and I've got a caller here, Sean in Australia. I'm going to go to him in a moment. I want to ask what's happening with that fight. The farmers announcing hunger strikes, people panicking, their whole way of life destroyed. I mean, just arbitrarily, you can't use half your land now because the flatulence of your sheep. Or your cows, or you, I mean, just period. It's tyranny. They're just doing it. It's got to stop. I'm going to start the next hour and take 30 minutes of calls interspersed with a bunch of really important news I haven't even gotten to yet. And the latest very exciting news, Texas rising like a phoenix after the betrayal of last week. Your action becoming a national sensation. Other capitals need to be peacefully stormed. I almost called our video stormed. And then I said, nah, let's not too provocative. All the rest of the media called it a storming of the Capitol. People were like, you mean you can shout at your servants? Yes, they're your servants, not your masters. And if they arrest you, well, that's illustrating the tyranny. You've got to say no to them. I'm going to go to break here in a moment, but I wanted to thank some of the sponsors that made today's radio broadcast possible. One of them are the fabulous folks at eFoodsDirect.com. They've got a buy three and get the fourth free of any of their packages, any of their great line of non-GMO, non-hybrid, gourmet, the lowest price because they are the biggest, the longitudinally operating, wonderful folks. Everybody needs storable food. You'll never stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. Check them out today. Stuff lasts more than 10 years. It's who I buy from. Don't forget purewaterfreedom.com. I want to tell you about purewaterfreedom.com. You want to affordably remove fluoride from your tap water, visit purewaterfreedom.com. They have a full line of household fluoride filters. You can remove fluoride from every water source in your home with a whole fluoride house fluoride system. All their filters are made in the USA. I know that makes globalists mad. Sorry, we're evil. Infowars.com has banners linked to them. Again, purewaterfreedom.com to take control of your water supply today. The globalists don't want you to be self-sufficient. They're scumbags.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are now into hour number three. Constitutional law expert, the man Ron Paul calls the expert, Bruce Fein, will be joining us to get into the unbelievable presidential power grab. Congress is trying to hand Obama for perpetual war, torture, secret arrest, and murder of even U.S. citizens. CDC admits flu vaccines don't work. Big news on that front. Also, CNN reporting that the World Health Organization is having to admit that, yes, cell phones are giving you brain cancer. Folks, we've all gotten addicted to them. We've got to use hands-free. That way it just gives our kneecap, you know, where it's sitting beside us in the car, cancer. We've got to stop putting them up to our heads. We've got to use the Bluetooth. Because just the radio wave wireless isn't that bad, the studies show. It's that microwave. It's a microwave relay pulse system that's very powerful. But it's just like putting water, putting poison in a water tank. Cows, deer, sheep, they'll come up and drink because it's odorless, it's tasteless, and they'll watch other sheep around them dying, and they'll still come and drink right next to a dead sheep in the mud. And I'm the same way. Been using cell phones for a long time. Since college, I got one. I use them. I don't talk a lot on them. I don't talk for long periods on them. Like my dad. My dad is glued to his, talking to his patients and people and doing prescriptions. And my poor daddy just lives on it with a microwave relay tower right up against his head. And he needs to stop it. I hung out with him and barbecued yesterday, and he was creeping off on that cell phone. I said, I got landlines right here. But I know they're little computers. They got all the numbers for you. They got the messages. They got it all stored. And it also surveils you. I got to do something. I think I may just get rid of the cell phone. But then when I'm on trips and things, they don't even have pay phones anymore. See, they make killing yourself so easy. They make being surveilled so easy. I don't even plug a hands-free into it. My buddy Jimmy Vaughn does. He and his wife, I'm friends with them, great folks. I notice they've got those plug-in phones, so it's at least away from you. It's like a regular phone. But see, I won't do that. I'll talk the talk, but I won't walk the walk. I'm pathetic. We're going to Sean in Australia next, but first let's go to Dave in Maryland. Dave, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, Alex. Thanks for letting me come on. Hey, I've got a little bit of information here I wanted to pass on to you. It'll take a couple minutes. I've done my homework on some of these right-to-carry gun laws. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yes, and I found out something. I've been talking to the Department of Natural Resources, the state police in Maryland and West Virginia, and they confirmed what I already knew. It's about black powder type weapons, like flintlocks, muzzleloaders, percussion muzzleloaders, and cap and ball pistols, they don't fall under the 1933 or the 68 Gun Control Act. Therefore, you can strap a cap and ball pistol on your person or wear it concealed and walk anywhere you want.
By the way, a 44 or a 357 black powder six shooter, I mean, you can load those baby up. They are almost as deadly as a regular white powder. They are incredible firearms. You can also buy them without the NICS check.
Right, and there's not a dang thing they can do about it if you want to strap her on and carry it. So I propose that everybody go out and either get a 36 or a 44 caliber, learn how to load it, utilize it, how to shoot it, and wear it. This will break those people from sucking eggs.
Well, there's nothing more powerful than demonstrating, even when they say we can't. There's nothing more powerful than wearing guns openly. And that totally freaks Chris Matthews out, because if they're having to show rallies with people wearing guns everywhere, then the general public goes, well, wait, how's that legal? The drama I watch, the cop show I watch, the fiction I watch, shows people being arrested every episode for owning a gun in their house. See, they create the perception it's illegal so they can then ban it. Do you see what's going on?
Be like Pancho Villa. Wear it outside on us so the whole world can see it and be proud.
I love that Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard song. What, are you wanting us to play that when we come back for you? We'll see if John Harmon can find it. And I never played You Got to Stand for Something or You'll Fall for Anything. We'll play that after we take some calls. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean. And now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath is hard as kerosene. Weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Back into your dream. Pancho was a bandit boy. His horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Well, Pancho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. Nobody heard his dying word.
Oh, but that's the way it goes.
Oh, but that's the way it goes.
Okay, let's go back to your phone calls right now ahead of constitutional law expert joining us with the final nail in the Republic's coffin. That's how Ron Paul put it last week. Total dictator powers the Congress is trying to give the office of the presidency. Unbelievable. But it's happening. Sean in Australia, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Okay, Alex, calling in from Western Australia via Skype. I've got to say, you are dominating the info war, while at the same time you champion the freedom movement on a global scale.
Well, we're dominating the fight against the globalists because there's red-blooded humans worldwide who have a passion for liberty beating in their heart, and nothing will quench it but freedom.
I agree. Well, look, I was unaware of your issue that you brought up about the farmland being taken away. Well, to me, it's clearly an unmitigated power grab supported by a nonsensical theory. And I reiterate, anthropogenic global warming is a theory. I'm a geophysicist, and I'll say on record that anthropogenic global warming is a pure hoax.
But wait, the UN says 2 years ago at Copenhagen that the sun has no effect on climate, so they waved a magic wand, just like they say levels hundreds of times safe levels are now safe at Fukushima. They wave a magic wand. They say it's caused by cows' flatulence, and so now we've got to put a tax on your cows.
Well, I mean, anyone who believes that is clearly unreasonable. Look, this land grab is a move to cripple the ability of Australians to live off the land and to make agricultural enterprise financially and now practically unfeasible. That's how I see it.
That's right. Half the farmland announced last year to be off limits for people that currently own it and are using it. Where is that fight going right now in Australia?
Well, to be honest, as I said, I was unaware of it until I heard it on the broadcast. So
that's what I thought you said. I wasn't sure. But that's all over Australian news. Just search. It's even Sky Television with the reports. The best way to find it is Farmer on Hunger Strike in Australia, and that should bring it up for you.
Okay. Well, check that out. See, I struggle to watch the mainstream news, and I can't handle it.
No, I know it's painful to watch them, but you got to watch the enemy. You got to know what they're up to.
Yeah, you do. Well, this is why I've called in. Look, it's obviously my first time on. I want to be quick, but I need to carefully frame the points that I want to make. I've called in to give you a breakdown of how I see the events ensuing in terms of our level of potential intervention. First, I've got to commend the New Hampshire lawyer representing the 9/11 victims' families who recently called into the show and directed us to his phone calls transcript with the senior investigator of the New York District Attorney, Cyrus Vance Jr. The guy's pretty impressive. He wasn't going to back down, and his control of the conversation was very good. Look, it's obvious why he called in to the DA's office and why he called into the show to tell us. It was directly related to what Dr. Pechenik said on your show on the 4th of May. Now, my breakdown of the ensuing events...
Okay, I'm trying to follow what you're... Hold on, I'm trying to follow. I vaguely remember a caller pointing out that Cyrus Vance Jr., who Pechenik had actually worked for his dad when he was Secretary of State, so I see that tie-in, and I mentioned that here on the show, that the caller was saying he called Cyrus Vance Jr., I believe he said, and that they're ready to talk to Pechenik. And so Pechenik said they know where to get me, that they should contact him if they're serious. And is that what you're talking about?
Correct. He called into the DA's office. Look, I've got a different approach, and I'm seeing it from a different angle. Okay, now, first I have to say that I logically operate in the context of the comprehensive model that people like yourself and Dr. Tarpley have laid out for us, which is the model of total tyranny, the model of incrementalized degradation of humanity, population control, the banker's debt colonialism, imperialism, and absolute insider corruption, which is sold to us as a psyop that claims that this model is classical capitalism and that the problems are due to the free market, which is the reverse.
That's right. This is not a free market system. This is a crony insider mafia system. Then they blame all their crimes on capitalism and sell socialism as the solution when that's exactly what they want, is to communalize our wealth so they can steal it out of one pot.
Correct. Yeah, I totally agree. It's global corporatism. Now, with this model, you can clearly see the continuity of government across the NATO and UN countries as self-evident, just as it is self-evident that there is a false two-party paradigm, a ceremonial Congress and a pre-selected puppet president. Now, we've got this in Australia as well, no doubt. So what are the consequences of this very serious phone call after what Dr. Pechenik has told us? And for those of us who see reality according to this model, we have to understand that the 9/11 narrative is a psyop and that the behind-the-scenes intelligence, defense, and psyop think tanks need to be able to handle a transition from the current psyop paradigm and the war on terror to a new narrative. So obviously the current psyop is the false flag terror that was deployed on us in 2001. So a new narrative must be controlled and must maintain at least some level of narrative continuity so that the power elite do not lose total control of the masses.
Sure, it sounds like you're reading. I'm almost out of time. I've got to get to other callers, Sean. Bring it to a head for us.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that if the organisation between the DA, Dr. Pechenik, and everyone comes to head, the prosecution, I believe, will only go ahead if the power elite are ready to make a transition from the current PSYOP to a new PSYOP. because they work on a timetable. Now, their timetable, you know...
Yeah, I don't believe the globalists want 9/11 truth to come out. They're still using that paradigm. They're still moving forward with it. That would discredit their entire system if that ever happened. Sean, sounds like you've got a lot of thoughts. Write an article up. Send it to us. If it's good stuff, we'll publish it at InfoWars.com or put it on your own blog. Sounds interesting. Eric in Texas. Eric, you're on the air.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
There?
Yep, sure
hey,
am. Sure
hey,
am.
I've been a soldier of the New World Order since 96, man. That's when I went through the police academy there in Central Texas.
Yes, sir.
And used to listen to you on AM, thought you were quack, till a few years back. We had an emergency preparedness class that we took. We had a bunch of big wigs from Gulfport and New Orleans come in talking about FEMA and Katrina. And we got to see the national ID card that no one else is supposed to know about because they'll think it's the end of the beginning of the end, I suppose. Just wanted to kind of say thanks for waking me up. And I chose to be a cop, and I've seen enough stuff over the years where I've decided not to be. Joined Oath Keepers a couple years ago and pretty much a traitor and an outcast with my peers and coworkers since then, and it's, I feel
really
much
for saying you're going to follow the Bill of Rights and Constitution, you're a traitor and an outcast. You know what? Stay there. Don't hang up. We've got to go to break here, Eric. I want to come back after this break and talk about how you're a traitor and an outcast because you say you'll follow the Bill of Rights and Constitution. You'll do what you've sworn to do. You will stand for the Republic. I mean, that is a frightening statement, and so I want to hear some details of that. But I want to go out to break with a few minutes of this Aaron Tippett country song. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. This man says that he stands for the Bill of Rights and Constitution. These guys that think it's so evil and so bad, what do they stand for? Here it is.
Now, Daddy didn't like trouble. If it came along, everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Now we might have been better off or on the bigger house if Daddy had done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty just to live in his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with tonight. He'd say, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
What does this Republic stand for? What do the police stand for? If they're so scared of the Bill of Rights and Constitution, what country do they think they're living in?
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, so Eric is a police officer here in Texas, says he's going to get out of it because he became a member of Oath Keepers a few years ago and talks about liberty and freedom, and he's become an outcast. Now, I get calls like this. I talk to cops on the street, you know, that pull up on their bikes or in their squad cars, and where routinely both of them are listeners. So I guess it depends in what department you're in or what unit or what group. But generally, they're trying to turn cops into enemies of the Republic. But a lot of police that I've run into are good men and women. But that is really scary, Eric, because I have squad car video, not just in my film Road to Tyranny, but in other clips I've been sent where it's their own video with their own microphones on their ties or on their uniforms where they find a pocket constitution or somebody brings up the constitution, and the cops act like they found a dead baby or something. I mean, they act like they found meth dealers. I mean, they freak out in fear. And so I guess that same brainwashing that they're giving the police, I guess, extends to you. Don't they know that keeping your oath is what they've sworn to? I mean, how can so many police think that talking about keeping your oath is dirty?
Well, I get it's just a culture of us versus them, man. It's been that way since I went through the academy. You know, there's a lot of lip service on civil rights and people's private property, and really boils down to just a bunch of CYA information to keep the department from getting sued. And unless you get into a specialized unit, or you start dealing more with the guys that are in charge, most of the stuff they're involved in, I think, is kind of out of our pay grade on the street. When I saw these knuckleheads from post Katrina come in there with this emergency preparedness and joking about the national ID card and number of the beast, and I'm not a super religious guy, but I mean, it struck me as like, well, wait a minute, you know, what is a national ID card for? And they proceeded to tell me that, you know, to restrict access in and out of emergency zones, and it was ridiculous. And I kind of was vocal about it at the class, and that's kind of where it started for me, because I noticed the guys looking around like I was some kind of a, you know, fruitcake or right winger or something. And
sir, have you seen Road to Tyranny? Because I have stuff pre-9/11. It was sent to us in 2000 by a firefighter. It's in Kansas City, where I was on still on AM radio. And the room's full of police, firemen, sheriff's deputies, and the FEMA guy, looks like a special forces type guy, is bad-mouthing Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. Anybody that talks about freedom is probably a terrorist. And the cops are nodding and agreeing. And it's like, I mean, it's so alien. This is the heart of America that they are saying is now bad. Don't cops know that when there's a foreign banking takeover, bad guys are going to come to them and tell them the good guys are the bad guys? I mean, look at FEMA. They cut the police communication lines so the cops couldn't aid the public, so the feds could come in and take over. That's now on record.
Well, that's the Thomas Jefferson quotes and George Washington and all that. It must be a regular speech they give, because that's the same tripe they told us in that meeting.
Oh, so they were demonizing the Founding Fathers.
Absolutely. And so my sheriff, the guy I worked for up till recently, last couple of months, went, I guess, to the Sheriff's Association meeting there in Austin, I think is where it was at, I'm not sure. But they had an Oath Keepers booth set up, and he took some of their stuff and read it, and he came back, and he was joking to me about it out at the range about these Oath Keepers. And I said, well, I'm an Oath Keeper. And the conversation came to a dead stop, and he looked at me, and he's like, well, you know, what are you saying? I said, well, I'm just saying that I'm, you know, I took an oath, and I'm going to defend it. And he said, well, if you do what your Oath Keepers say you're going to do, then you really can't have your job in some instances. And I was like, okay, man. I mean, it's just amazing.
So why did he swear an oath if it's so bad to follow your oath? I mean, don't they understand that if the Germans would have followed their oath, they had a pretty good oath as well, that none of that would have happened? I mean, don't they realize that they're swearing an oath because police are either guardians of liberty or pure tyranny? I mean, it's the same. I mean, don't they understand cops are bad in Mexico or North Korea? Don't they get that?
I swore that same oath, and when I recited it, I was waiting to get my badge. And I think that's what happens to a lot of guys. Just something you say, and it sounds patriotic, and then you move on, and it's us versus them, and everybody's bad, and we're the good guys, and we're the thin blue line, and all that garbage. You know, but when you grow up a little bit, and you've seen enough of it, and you start questioning things, then right there you've stepped out of that, I wouldn't say code of silence. Now, of course, this is not a blanket statement for all police.
No, I understand. Eric, I'm just curious, what jurisdiction are you in?
Well, I was out in West Texas till a few months ago, and I'm now working on the pipeline. I've left it, and I actually worked up in north of Austin for many years, and went out to.
You know what? You know what? We've got a guest coming up, but I want the guest to hear this when we come back. Just briefly to Bruce Fine, tell him the type of stuff they say about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. I mean, we have it on video, but we want to hear it from you, and then we'll bring our guest up to comment on what you say. Stay with us.
Dark ashamed.
Well, here's the good news. A whole bunch of other states, including Utah, are saying they're going to call the federal bluff on the TSA groping inside the pants and outside the pants of men, women, and children. Texas had caved in, but now in the special session, Rick Perry did not ask for the bill, though he claims he supports it, to be brought back up, even though it passed unanimously, to then be killed by Perry's minion, Dewhurst, in the Senate, according to senators who blew the whistle on him, like senior citizens, Senator Dan Patrick from Houston. But now Dewhurst, under incredible heat, is asking Perry to put it back in the special session. Why didn't Perry do that on his own? But that news is all up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. The point is, the fight is on. Now, Bruce Fein, who is one of the leading constitutional law scholars, advisor to Congress, Ron Paul says that he's a big follower of Mr. Fein's take on things. He's quoted on the cover of the Constitutional Peril saying, Bruce Fein is one of the most important legal minds in our time. We're going to be talking to Bruce here in a moment. But finishing up, Eric, I have the training manuals. I have the videos that police sent us, not just the manuals, saying George Washington bad, Thomas Jefferson bad, Ron Paul bad, Bob Barr bad, anybody that talks about the Constitution bad. I mean, but you were saying that you were taught the same stuff in Texas with Mr. Fein listening. Tell folks the type of song and dance you were told about the Founding Fathers.
Well, essentially, I was told to be on the lookout for anybody that espouses that, because there are probably right-wing extremists, and those are one of the folks we need to look for. And this was before I'd even read a MIAC report or anything else. And so I think it's pretty much a standard they go around the country, you know. And they're in the process of militarizing all of us. I mean, every cop wants to get on SWAT, and they've got all the good toys, and I've done it. I've been on SWAT for years, and it's just got to the point of being ridiculous. You know, it really has. And
well, all over the country, they're announcing that they're going to SWAT team even for unpaid speeding tickets. So it's just
they're using the fear of all these officers that have been getting shot lately. They're using that to stoke our fears, and we go in heavy-handed, and that's.
But you know what's going to happen? That's going to lead to more people who are going to start fighting. You see how it's a self-fulfilling prophecy?
It is. It exactly is. It absolutely is.
All right. Well, God bless you, Eric, and we appreciate your call. Too bad you decided to get off the force because of all of it, because it would be good to have good folks in there. But I don't want to second-guess your decision. I certainly couldn't do it. Now, Bruce Fein is chairman of the American Freedom Agenda, founder of the Bruce Fein and Associates, the Lynchfield Group, author of Constitutional Peril, The Life and Death Struggle for a Constitution and Democracy, and weekly columnist for the Washington Times. Mr. Fein graduated with honors from Harvard Law School in 72, clerked for the prestigious federal court, served as special assistant to the attorney, assistant attorney general for the Office of Legal Counsel and assistant attorney general for antitrust, assistant director for the Office of Legal Policy, associate deputy attorney general, general counsel of the Federal Communications Commission, counsel of the Joint Congressional Committee on Covert Arms Sales to Iran, visiting fellow for the Constitutional Studies of the Heritage Foundation, adjunct scholar for the American Enterprise Institute, guest lecturer at the Brookings Institution. Mr. Fein specializes in constitutional international law, is a frequent witness and advisor to Congress, and is a regular guest on national TV and radio. And we appreciate Mr. Fein joining us today. Ron Paul said, quote, Bruce Fein is one of the most important legal minds in our time. So a congressional level constitutional law scholar. Going over this, we've got a constellation of issues to cover. But, sir, looking at 3 months ago, Obama following the UN directive, saying for the prestige of the UN, he didn't need Congress. Congress servile comes to them last week and says, here's secret arrest, killing of American citizens, total power, we make you Caesar. And how did the emperor respond?
Well, he responded by disdaining the idea that he would even accept congressional crowning of powers that he had already stolen when he had proclaimed that he may unilaterally use the military anywhere he wants in the name of regional stability, the credibility of the UN Security Council, an overflow of refugees, humanitarian causes, indeed anything that he thought was disturbing on the planet, which was the most egregious usurpation of legislative power in the history of the United States. And he does that without blushing, without recognizing that he now has become the King George III, which was the object of our revulsion and repudiation in 1776. And it's truly astonishing what your former viewer or participant had said, that our founding fathers are being scorned. They're being sneered at. This is basically the counter-revolution, if you will, the Napoleon, the 18th of Brumaire, for the United States of America. And indeed, it's true. We have lost the Republic on the installment plan. It's not something that happened overnight. It's been an ever-increasing encroachment of executive authority and military supremacy since the Mexican-American War of 1846 to 1848. And now we've got a political culture that is passive, that is defeat, that accepts vassalage in the name of making us risk-free. And it's quite something that would be shocking to the founding fathers, is all I can say.
Ron Paul last week said this is the final nail if this goes through. And Obama says, I don't even need that power. I'll do whatever I want. I've got the UN. I mean, is this not, Bruce, you said the greatest power grab, the most unconstitutional action in our history. And I have to agree with you. I mean, on its face, it's a total statement. Break down what's happened, what is now unfolding, and why you use words like that to describe it.
Well, think of this hypothetical. Suppose the president of the United States, whoever it is, can be a Republican or Democrat, Obama or Bush or someone else, this evening goes on national television and he says, I've got secret intelligence that shows that unless I suspend the Constitution, declare martial law, and impose the military as supreme over the civilian courts, we will suffer another 9/11. And therefore, I will try to restore your liberties as soon as possible, but right now, I've got to be king. If the president did that, I think our culture would accept it. I think there would be no cry for impeachment and removal from office, no outcry that this is a usurpation and total capitulation to fear and to dictatorship. This would be something that the American people would shock for Caligula. Has yet to be the president. Obama's not yet Caligula, but as soon as one arrives, we have now set the precedent and the political culture that will indulge a dictator.
Now, Bruce, your cell phone was breaking up right there during that key point. Please repeat the last 60 seconds of what you were saying.
What I'm saying is that the Congress of the United States, the American people have cultivated, have accepted a political culture that will accept a dictatorship the next time we have a Caligula in the president as opposed to Obama. That is, in the name of being made safe and risk-free, they will accept vassalage and whatever the president ordains is needed for their safety, they will accept. And that, if they, is the final, if you will, representative death knell to the republic when the people are no longer willing to fight for their liberties. It was said by John Quincy Adams, one of our former presidents, that the glory of a republic is liberty. The glory of an empire is domination and dominion. And I think we have now jumped into the empire rather than the republican phase of our evolution.
Now, Bruce, when you say Obama is no Caligula, clearly the office has taken on endless wars, torture, secret arrests, warrantless wiretapping, quite Caligulan-type attributes, but it is this puppet-financed president, this office that now has these powers, and the Republican and Democratic parties that are always wanting to heap more of these powers onto them, and we see the hyping of the threat of terror and you know, turning it into a fetish of jingoisms, where it's a new religion to be the land of the cowards, the home of the slaves. And so we're already there. I mean, there could be an event any day. And I think the general public is starting to wake up to a certain extent, but only to the fact that there's a problem. They have no idea just how bad it is. And a lot of people think, well, tyranny just means our government will go kill some brown people. But with that tyranny, you have the waivers for insiders to not have to get insurance, but your company does. You have the $4,000 fines for trimming your crepe myrtle tree. You have to get an environmental assessment for a fireworks display. I mean, we see the dam breaking and tyranny at every level just pouring in. Your comments on that?
Well, I think what you've stated is that the precedents, the intellectual theories of a complete dictatorship that we typically associate with, say, Stalin or Mao in China, are there. It's just that, and I'm not saying that in an individualized way, all the particular horrors that you've identified, torture, detentions without trial, indefinitely putting American citizens on assassination lists without any judicial checks, military commissions that combine judge, jury, and prosecutor in lieu of civilian courts. They're all there, but right now the victims are largely in isolated communities. You know, they're the Muslims, they're the underprivileged who largely dominate the all-volunteer force who are sent abroad to give that last full measure of devotion so a political minion or a president can avoid saying, I lost the war, you know, totally giving their life up for virtually nothing. All those are there. It just isn't as widespread as you would expect that we associate with the horrors of a full dictatorship. But I say, it's the earmark of a mature people to recognize when the precedents have been set and to draw the line there before we've fallen off the entire cliff. But the path to the cliff, it has been laid, as you said there, is just a matter of time unless we retreat before we fall over.
Can you comment on the Supreme Court really breaking down the Fourth Amendment 2 weeks ago? The Indiana Supreme Court saying, quote, officers can come in your house without warrants for any reason or no reason at all. That's a quote by the Chief Justice. New Mexico Supreme Court just ruled cops at traffic stops can take guns from law-abiding drivers for no reason. I mean, right now there seems to be a coming out of the closet. They built the tyranny, you know, over the hill, but now they're rolling this juggernaut directly at us. Your comments on that, and why is there such a orgy now of hiking their leg on us, demonstrating the tyranny? What is precipitating that?
Well, it's all part of this seamless philosophy, if you will, that better safe and a vassal than be free and have the tiniest amount of risk. And let me just sort of put as a background here to these observations the extension of the Patriot Act, the three provisions that are largely completely shown to be useless over 10 years in preventing any act of international terrorism, but all of them deviate from the fundamental Fourth Amendment principle that you don't disturb someone's privacy until there's probable cause to believe complicity in crime. And that has just been thrown out the window.
And they're now admittedly thousands of times per state a year using the Patriot Act and non-terror related.
Oh, yeah. Most of the Patriot Act authorities are going after drugs or organized crime or things that have nothing to do with international terrorism, yeah, or deportation, you know, immigration crimes. But to go back to where we began as a country, it was in 1761 that James Otis was denouncing British writs of assistance. They were general warrants that enabled all the petty officers of the British to rummage through people's homes and businesses searching for contraband, etc. And the king at that time said, well, if you're innocent, then why do you care whether we come into your bedroom, you know? And, you know, if you have nothing to hide, let us be Big Brother and surveil every nook and cranny of your existence. And founding fathers said, well, we are born with unalienable rights, and one of those is liberty. And you do not have a right to encroach on our liberty unless you shoulder the burden of believing we're involved in crime. We don't need to justify our liberty. It's inherent of breathing and respiring as a human being. And that was the spark that led to the revolution, according to John Adams. So the Fourth Amendment, this idea of the right to be left alone, was not a marginal element of the revolution. Indeed, it was every bit as central as no taxation without representation. And the general idea was that the threshold of the government, into your privacy, was only authorized when there was probable cause to believe you or evidence was indicated of a crime.
And that brings us now to the TSA. FBI can't stick their hands down your pants without a warrant. What are the feds doing now on the streets, school proms, if you haven't heard, running wild, first outside the pants, now in the pants of Miss America in Dallas? Are they not openly trying to set the precedent and break our will?
Well, yes, they're trying to get us accustomed to the Big Brother state, you know, to read George Orwell's 1984, that if there's it's a variation of what Dick Cheney called the 1% doctrine. It's even worse, you know, it's about the 1,000,000%. That is, if there's a millionth of percent that something is true, you treat it as an absolute certainty, like the force of gravity, and proceed apace. And you could think that if any ordinary person lived his life with a 1% theory, you'd never get out of bed. If you treated everything as absolutely true, that was 1% or less likely to have happened. You know, you'd be frozen and paralyzed with fear.
Yeah, you could have a car wreck. Your children could be killed, and you've got a thousands of times better chance of dying from that than from terror, but now we've got to give up all of our rights because of terror. Very well said. What about in New York State, and they've introduced the bill, that all of the hotel cleaner people have to wear panic buttons because all men might be rapists because Dominique Strauss-Kahn might have grabbed a woman's rear end. I mean, this idea that government's going to keep you safe with a panopticon of surveillance, who keeps us safe from them?
Yeah, exactly right. Who's gonna guard the guard, you know? And I do not trust me. And you always remember this. The government can always do more mischief than any particular individual can. That's why if you choose between the two dangers, you accept the danger of the individual, because the government authority and ability to destroy your life is many-fold more than any individual. And that doesn't say that there's not going to be tragedies. There are. That's what life in some sense is about. It's inescapable. But
would you rather face the danger of the mob or somebody in the street or a big organized government? Look what governments have done last century, killed hundreds of millions. Looking at Ron Paul's speech, the last nail in the coffin, and Ron Paul almost breaking down saying, this is just so over the top. Why would Congress in a servile way run to Obama and say, we want to make you king?
Because Congress, given its supine, cowardly nature, it rejoices in escaping responsibility for anything. That's why you get line item vetoes. Give all the power to the president, and then you can't accuse us of doing anything wrong because we didn't decide anything except the potted plants that will adorn, you know, our offices and our committee hearings. And that's where we've come to. It's a phenomenon of the founding fathers, as genius as they were. They didn't quite comprehend that one branch could be so effete that would readily yield and glee and clap at the surrender of their powers. But that is what is going on. Your audience would be stunned to know that when the Bush administration went to Congress, unlike Obama, and did get authorization for the use of military force in Afghanistan after 9/11, and did get authorization through delegation to fight the war in Iraq, the members of Congress were outraged that they were asked to vote. They said, hey, don't make us vote on this thing. That's bad. You just do it on your own. If it turns out bad, we can criticize you. So that's where we've come to. And until the American people vote out of office, all these ciphers there who do not want to do their homework and discharge their responsibility, it's going to persist. But ultimately, unless the political culture changes at the grassroots and the American people say, I'm not voting for a member of Congress who isn't going to take account of these major decisions.
Tell you what, Bruce, stay there. Bruce Fine's our guest. Final segment coming up. Constitutional law scholar. I'm Alex Jones, PrisonPlanet.tv. Folks, some Americans think empire and tyranny and torture is sexy. When the government doesn't have to follow any laws, in every case, it will rob you seven ways to Sunday. It will conscript your children as military chattel, you name it. And on every front, this country has political cancer. And talking to constitutional law scholar, his latest book is American Empire Before the Fall. That's his new book. And we're now here at the Empire. We were talking during the break about Ron Paul's speech, but also the training manuals, the videos, the cop that called in earlier where they demonized the founding fathers. I mean, if I was a cop and they were demonizing the founding fathers, I would know you're demonizing America. But they truly think America is bad. It's such a mind trick. How do they do that, Bruce?
Well, it shows how a political culture can warp words and original meaning. I say, just like they did in George Orwell's 1984, you know, the Ministry of War is the Ministry of Peace. And so even though the Constitution bequeathed a republic, remember Benjamin Franklin, a republic if you can keep it, the culture has warped the words and the meaning of the document. So now what was intended as a republic is now an empire. We saw it in a little different way, too, during the 100 years of Jim Crow after the Civil War. Equal protection, non-discrimination, then meant white supremacy, and it took really a cultural revolution with many very brave people dying, including freedom riders, etc., before the original meaning returned, and that's where we are today. To my mind, to try to denigrate and demonize the founding fathers is somehow unfaithful to our mission as a country. And the last time I read about somebody who did that, we called them Benedict Arnold. And Benedict Arnold was viewed as a traitor and not somebody who was loyal to the United States. And these are the sentiments that would have lied people to King George III in fighting against George Washington at Yorktown, fighting against George Washington at Saratoga, etc. So, again, this is truly shocking, and it shows in what disrepute and contempt our Constitution is being held, and yet it is our birth certificate. It is our North Star if we're going to keep away from the ruination that has afflicted all empires.
In closing, do you concur with Ron Paul's analysis that this, if allowed to continue to go through, is the final nail in the coffin?
Yes, I do. We're standing at the Rubicon, and if we let this pass without rebuke, you know, the president just deciding the heck with the war powers resolution, the heck with the law, I do things on my own, then it's just a matter of time. Again, before we have someone who's as bad as Caligula and will then overtly suspend the Constitution, list doing it on the installment plan, and we will be back to where we were when we were fighting in 1776, a retrogression of 235 years.
Well, that's like the feds saying there's no states' rights. Why do we even have states? That's like the states saying, government saying that they run the parents. Why even have parents? I mean, why even have a House and Senate if we're going to have this? I mean, it's history is repeating itself. Historically, in closing, what type of horrors generally come from this direction we're going in?
The horrors come when we suspend trials. People who are politically unpopular suffer persecution, not for what they did, but for what they think. And all of the privacy is invaded, and the police are the law rather than being subject to the law. Again, all empires fall to ruination in particularly different ways, but the most decisive element is this. In a republic and in our Constitution, the individual is the center of the constitutional universe, and liberty is foremost, and government is there to secure the unalienable rights of individuals. In an empire, government is first. Big and bigger and stronger government is the center of the constitutional universe, and anything that can make government bigger and stronger in the name of safety goes. And that's exactly where we're headed if we do not draw the line here and it was a so-called retreat into the safety of the republic that the founding fathers so nobly
Bruce, stay there. If you've got to go, fine. If not, we're back in 1 minute. I want you to talk about solutions in a final 5 minutes straight ahead. Stay with us. All right, final 5 minutes with constitutional law expert Bruce Fine. Looking at this empire, I want to talk about briefly some solutions. What are ways that you see to restore sanity, to try to reverse this destruction of the republic, with the Republicans loving tyranny, the leadership, the Democrats loving it, as the corruption mounts, as the debts mount, their answer is more government, more tyranny. How do we reverse this disaster? Because obviously the liberty we've had in this country, while not perfect, became the model of the world and the engine of ideas and wealth. And now as we lose the liberty, we see the wealth draining away because it's a historical fact that the two are connected.
Well, absolutely right. The rule of law is what attracts investment, and it provides the confidence about the future that enables economics to flourish. But you know, what is the remedy? You know, the institutions, as you point out, are already compromised. And the remedy really is public education. The American people just have to stand up and say, enough is enough. I mean, if they could do it in Egypt, if they can do it in Tunisia, if the Pakistani lawyers can revolt against dictatorship, the American people have to have the same courage. And we don't need to go to the streets right now. We just need to go to the ballot box. And my idea is, hey, you have a member running for the Congress of the United States, unless they pledge they're going to enforce their authority to decide on war and peace, they're going to decide what taxes go or not, they're going to decide whether your privacy is invaded, they will accept accountability. Say, no, I don't want you to be there if you're a potted plant. I don't need wallpaper to pay for, you know, at $170,000 or $180,000 a year. And the American people have to run this litmus test after every single candidate for the Congress. We hear all these statements of how much they sacralize the Constitution, and then they arrive in Washington, and the first thing they do, they put the torch to the Constitution. So we need to rebuke and retaliate against these people who pledged and they read on the floor of Congress every word of the Constitution, and then they turn around and flout exactly what they read and say, this is, it's an aroused citizenry. And I say we should take inspiration from some of these other countries where they don't have nearly the opportunities of freedom of expression and the ability to change things peacefully that we do here. And but we've got to be involved. We can't think it's going to happen by spontaneous combustion. That's going to happen just by cruise control. And that is our dignity as Americans, that we chart our own destiny. We don't give it to others to do that.
Well, you're absolutely right. I look at the Texas legislature and this TSA groping. Unanimous in the House, the Senate didn't want a vote to be made, so they let the lieutenant governor basically spike it because they were going to pass it 30-31, and so suddenly the bill just got withdrawn because of this cowardice. They never want to have a public position. They just want to go with the flow, and we're taught that that's what a statesman is. Is that not historically the opposite of a statesman?
Well, that is right. It's what Dante in his Inferno, he writes that the worst places in hell are reserved to those statesmen in times of great moral crisis who declare their neutrality. And that's what these people need to remember if they think that they're going to go down on some kind of pedestal or make their way to Mount Rushmore. Now, ducking their responsibility like that is the opposite of what a statesman is. They are the kind of people who were there when the Rubicon was passed and the Roman Republic fell into the Roman Empire.
And we're not going to have to wait a couple hundred years for the empire to get really bad. I mean, look at where do you see us economically? I mean,
it's unsustainable. We cannot continue to live this way. Just think of this. This should be truly frightening to your audience. We now, with a $14.3 trillion national debt, pay annually interest with interest rates about zero. Of close to $500 billion. When the interest rate goes from 0 to 5%, now we're paying interest of $3 trillion. That is, our entire budget is going to be paying interest on the debt. This cannot be sustained. It cannot.
And now Standard & Poor's says we're getting ready to lose the AAA rating, which is exactly what these big mega banks have been wanting.
Yes, and they'll charge more interest by your Treasury bills and securities, and it'll come out of our tax money. What we've got to do, we can probably save $1 trillion on our $1.2 trillion national security budget. We've got to take more responsibility for our health, for all the provisions in every health care combined. If we were just responsible for a sensible diet and sensible exercise regime, we could probably save the country trillions of dollars without having a single law there.
It all goes back to personal. It all goes back to
responsibility.
Yeah. Bruce Fein, constitutional law scholar, thank you so much for spending time with us.
All right, listen, have a great day.
You too. All right, great job to the crew. Great job to everybody else out there. Looks like they're trying to get the anti-groping bill back in the special session. Call Perry.